Well, welcome to the situation report, the actual last situation report on May 6th. Jeez, I don't even know what day it is. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. I've had family in town, have been traveling for family. It's been a busy month. But I'm here. It is the last situation report, the last, probably one of the last posts I'll do on the Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Murray channel. After today, we'll switch to the path forward. The link is in the show notes. I'll post the link for the show on Telegram, Gab, Truth Social, and Twitter. I've already changed the name of the channel in Telegram to the path forward. I was going to do that with this channel, but it's time to do something different. If you haven't gone over and subscribe and hit the follow button on the path forward, you should probably do that this week. My first show is going to be Friday. We're still trying to determine the time. First guest is going to be Michael Yon. He's going to talk about the situation in Panama. He's actually going to be on the border with Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, so I may have both of them on the show on Friday. We were trading messages this morning, and we're going to talk about the current situation, the threat, etc. And over the next several weeks, I'll be building the shows. I still have four or five people I have to follow up with. Be honest with you, I just haven't had time. I had a kid go through surgery last week, so I've been busy taking care of my kid. And I gotta give a shout out to my girlfriend for she's fantastic with my kid this weekend. Post-surgery it sucks. So especially for people who can't tolerate medication, and there's a lot of people out there who can't tolerate medication. So yeah, my hat tip to her. She was fantastic this weekend, and I was a hot mess Thursday night before we went in, and luckily we had good docs, good anesthesiologist, and things worked out well so far. But always stressful to be in the medical system right now. And we're in a recession. I don't know if you figured it out or not, but you're seeing a decrease in airline travel, vacation travel, just general travel. You're seeing a decrease in a lot of it because people's discretionary money is drying up. And there's a lot of people unemployed. I was on the phone this morning with a recruiter, and it was an interesting conversation because I asked, how bad is the job market right now? And this guy said, average before 2020 for finding a job, especially in the security industry and tech, was about 60 days. Post-2023, that number went up to 180 days. And now people are 365 plus still looking for work. And there's a lot of companies that are laying off. You're not hearing it, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. And I think that the U.S. will fare better than others through what's coming. But I think everybody's going to take a haircut. And I'm going to say this not from an ideologue, but the next order of battle is when people start losing their homes, this is the way I think that's going to go. I think you'll see a round of people losing their homes, and then communities will come together. And when the sheriff, IRS, whoever it is, bank shows up, and they're going to hand them papers and say, we're here to foreclose on your home. And the neighborhood's going to show up and say, yeah, I don't think so. You're going to go back to your bank. You're going to go back to your precinct, and you're not going to come back here. We're not giving up our homes. And more importantly, we're not giving up our neighborhood. And it may take 6 months or 7-8 months for that to start, but I think that's the way things are going to go. I'm already hearing rumblings of it, and I'm already hearing rumblings of pushback against politicians, et cetera. The American, as I've said in previous sit reps, American public are fed up. They're fed up with the malfeasance. They're fed up with the fraud. We see clearly who's protecting the January 6th narrative right now. Tillis is one of those today, watching that confirmation. And we're seeing a host of others. You know, the Mike Pence Award, you think that's a coincidence that they gave Judas an award? They have to protect the insurrection narrative, because most of them, almost all of them, were involved. And by the way, how's my mic? Is my mic good? Because I've been having issues with echo all day long. But they're trying to keep the insurrection narrative alive, because most of them were involved. And if you weren't paying attention on January 6, 2020, that was treason. And that was treason of the highest order. And Ted Cruz, Mike Pence, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, all committed treason. And the American people know it. And they've made it very, very well known. And what I find very interesting is I'm watching MTG's post. She's like the poster child for all messaging for MAGA that the establishment wants out. And she went down the numbers today in a Twitter post, which I thought was very interesting, because you're seeing more and more people starting to push back against the Israel narrative, the war narrative, pushing back against the malfeasance in D.C., and there's growing clamor for somebody to be arrested, specifically Obama and the entire Obama cast, as well as the Clintons. And now you're hearing people going after Alex Soros, Hamadine, or whatever her name is. And that's only going to continue along the same path as Alex Soros is funding a lot of the pro-Palestinian riots, trying to start a race war. And if you haven't been watching the messaging, they're doing yeoman's work trying to start a race war. And I'm just going to say this out loud, because I always get blowback every time I say this. America is not a racist country. They want you to think it is. They want you to believe that America is racist. They want you to believe that white and black don't get along, that white and Asian don't get along. It's a bunch of nonsense. The DEI flames that they fueled over the last 4 years have led to some of this violence, but a lot of it is simply you have, multiple classes in the country that have been disenfranchised by not just the system, but they've been disenfranchised by the city they're in. Look at the city of Chicago. They've all but turned their backs on their own people in lieu of all of these invaders that they've let in, and people are fed up. And I firmly believe that whatever plan they have in place is going to backfire and blow up in their face, along with the growing clamor now for accountability with all of the chemtrails. And Bill Maher went on his show Friday night and was making fun of people talking about chemtrails. But look, let's just call a spade, right? And Ben Davidson's talked about this, and a few others. You know, there's a mixed bag when it comes to chemtrails. I think that they are definitely doing they're doing geoengineering and climate engineering, and they've been doing it for decades. And now it's literally an overdrive, and it's causing damage not only to the environment, but to people. And you can deny it all you want, but the weather patterns, especially, across the U.S., have been wildly different than normal. And some of that can be attributed to the quote unquote pole shift, the weakening of the weakening of the magnetic structure of the earth, whatever you want to call it. But the point is that we're seeing a change in weather patterns, and we're also seeing a change in the social and cultural fabric of the country, as well as across the planet. I want you to ask yourself, how many people in the last, let's just say, 24 months have gone off the reservation. I will tell you that that number is rising. And this, I think it was today, there was footage of a road rage incident in Oregon where basically a guy was on a motorcycle and got cut off, and he was, you know, screaming at the guy in a car next to him to cut him off. And the guy basically pushed him off onto the side of the road and, you know, critically injured the guy and then drove off. You're going to see more of that because let's stick with Ben Davidson's premise for a second. And let me just preface this with, I'm not sure how much of this I buy into, because I think there's definitely a magnetic shift going on. I think there's solar activity going on that we haven't seen in 300 or 400 years. I think there's planetary movement that we haven't seen in 400 or 500 years. And I think because of that, we're seeing shifts on the planet, and all of us are affected by the gravitational movement of the solar system, whether we like to admit it or not. And I think that as the magnetic structure of the planet starts to break down, you're going to see people, more and more people, go off the reservation. The crazy will get crazier, the loving will get more loving, and we will see a very, very different, you know, planet through this. But more and more information is coming out now about the premise of this pole shift and this near Earth ending event or near extinction level event, whatever you want to call it. There's more information coming out about it. And I don't know if I did the show before or after Catherine Austin Fitz went on Tucker Carlson, but that was a huge moment, not just for Catherine Austin Fitz, but that was a huge moment for the truth community, because the Solari group has been in the background for almost 10 years. And, you know, she was a Robert David Steele. She was friends with Robert David Steele. She's been friends with a lot of different influencers in the truth community over the past, you know, decade. And, you know, she knows Cliff High, et cetera. She knows a lot of people in that community. And she's been saying for years that they've built this deep underground complex to house all these people in an extinction level event. And the truth came out today in the New York Post. And or today or yesterday. And it's no longer conspiracy. And I don't know if, you know, Shipwreck, I don't know if I buy into the whole deep underground military base, you know, gene decode and all his bullshit. I do buy into the underground train system. I think that's real. And they've been drilling holes since the early 70s. So I think that we definitely have a deep underground complex, but I don't know if it's, you know, just military bases. And the fact that now, and let's go back 25 years to 2001, they were already building those complexes back in 2000 before 9/11. And if you look at this chain of events, you're going to see that 9/11 was cover for what they were doing. And I've said multiple times throughout the last, you know, 5 years of doing this, that the enemy is usually on average 2 to 3 years or 5 years ahead of us. In this case, they're 20 years ahead of us. And, you know, there's the Adam and Eve story that was pushed out by the CIA that's making the rounds in PDF form, that talks about the pole shift and talks about the changes on the surface of the planet, and that the only way you're going to be able to survive is to be underground. You know, how much of that's predictive programming, how much of that's real. But the premise that I'm trying to get to is, think about it from this perspective. What if they know the date and time that the pole is going to shift, or they have a rough idea and they've gamed it out through AI and through algorithms, and they've figured out almost to the day when it's going to happen? Wouldn't it make sense that you would want enough chaos reigning on the surface of the planet so you could quietly escape to your underground complex and nobody's the wiser when the event happens? If you think about it from that perspective, you can see why 9/11 would be cover. You can see why the Patriot Act would be cover. And they're getting ready to pass the Genesis Act, which is, and by the way, everything that you see right now, especially at the national level and international level, is all theater. It's all nonsense and theater. The situation with Pakistan and India that's going on right now, the situation between the Houthis and the U.S., the situation between Iran and Israel, there's probably some truth in it, but I wouldn't say that all of it's true. And I wouldn't say that both sides aren't playing propaganda. So I start with the premise that everything is a lie and then work my way backward. And you have to look at everything with suspect eyes now, because there's so much AI-driven nonsense. Like, there's an entire speech that was pushed out, I think, yesterday that Trump supposedly did. And I'm convinced it's AI. And I'm convinced that a lot of the things that we're seeing, especially because of AI and deepfakes, is changing the public consciousness. And I'm just, you know, watching events go by, and I'm not really, you know, analyzing them for, you know, almost 3 days now, 72 hours. Because within 48 hours, you get more and more detail around it, more and more context, and you realize that most of it's BS anyway. Like, perfect example is the AI-driven picture of Trump wearing the Pope's outfit that sent the entire, you know, Catholic world, as well as the entire left, into a tizzy and a tailspin. Just like the troll yesterday, and by the way, this was a beautiful troll. Trump says we're going to reopen Alcatraz. Okay, let me give you some detail on Alcatraz for those of you who've never been there. First of all, this is a prison that was built at the turn of the century and operated until the mid-60s, early 70s when they shut it down. It requires a decade worth of work to harden it and turn it into a real maximum security prison again. And it would take a significant amount of infrastructure upgrades to make that place habitable, because it's not. And if you do the tour and you see just how much, everything has to be moved over by boat. That's not an easy process. And then anything that you put on the island, you have to take off on the other side of that. And then you have to take down walls. You have to reduce cells. There's a host of work that needs to go into that place before it can be called a prison again. So probably the best troll I've seen all week, because it sent the left into a tailspin. Plus, it's in San Francisco, which, you know, is going to drive that whole community into a tizzy. And, you know, it's like a lot of the other infrastructure in this country. It's just crumbling because they put no money into it. They're too busy putting money into all their social programs. So I'm looking at things like that and I'm seeing, okay, it's just another troll. It's just more noise. And there is so much noise in the system right now, it's not even worth paying attention to. I mean, literally, it's not even worth worrying about until the bombs start hitting. That's how bad the noise level is right now. And I've seen the narratives for the race war, narratives for a war with Iran, narratives for war with Canada, narratives for war with Mexico. You notice that nobody's talking about the cartels anymore. Nobody's talking about going to Fort Knox to find out if the gold's there. Nobody's talking about the massive number of people that are unemployed. Nobody's talking about the rounds of layoffs the companies are doing right now. In fact, UPS is going to lay off 20,000 people. Did you even hear about that? American Airlines, United Airlines have all laid off people. Did you hear about any of that? No, because you're too busy worried about Trump and the Pope's outfit. It's all noise. And it's noise designed to keep you distracted. And to that end, you have to ask yourself the question, how much of this should I be paying attention to? And I would say very little. The thing that we should be paying attention to, and here's what I'm paying attention to. I'm watching what is happening with Panama, because remember Trump said we are going to go back to Panama. We are going to take the canal, and we were going to work with Panamanians to take the canal. And then BlackRock was going to buy the ports from China, and everything was going to be amazing. And the sun was going to be a little brighter, and people were going to be a little smarter, and everything was going to be awesome. Well, none of that's transpired yet. We haven't taken the canal by force, and I'll tell you why. We don't have the money, we don't have the forces, and we don't have the equipment, because we've shipped all of our equipment off to Ukraine to get destroyed by the Russians. So we have a lot of noise in the system, but we haven't actually done anything yet. And oh, by the way, in the background, while all that's going on, they're building the social scoring system and digital control grid in the background. And the Genesis Act is really tailored towards a stable coin and towards crypto and controlling crypto. I don't know about you, but I didn't vote for that. I didn't vote for a war with Iran. I didn't vote for bombing a bunch of tribes in Yemen that nobody's, you know, ever seen or heard of. And all of a sudden, they're an existential threat to our shipping. Here's an idea. Why don't you move the ships far enough away from the coast where they can't get hit by missiles or drones? Why don't you do that instead of wasting resources and millions of dollars in missiles on a bunch of dudes in tents? It's a simple solution. Because the American people have said overwhelmingly, we're not going to fight another war. We are not going to send any more money overseas. We are not going to support Israel. We're done with that. And oh, by the way, start arresting people. I don't know what part of that the administration missed, but clearly they missed it. And then today they came out and said there's no timeline and no estimate on when we're going to release the Epstein files. Duh. Run by Mossad. Act of war. Mostly bad. You can already see what the game plan is, right? But that's why so I'm just going to go in this direction. And you know, E.M. Burlingame, he's posted a bunch of things about the financial system, the kill chain of the financial system. If you don't watch him on Twitter, I suggest you go read his stuff. Watch what Matt Bracken has posted about Ireland. In fact, he's going to be posting more about Ireland over the next couple of weeks. And watch what Michael Yon is posting about the border. You're going to see a pattern. And the pattern is, they're flooding all of these countries and they're selling off portions of all these countries to the highest bidder. And they're doing it here. Trump talks about resources. He talks about bringing jobs back to the U.S. But here's the reality of it. Even if Trump starts today, it's going to be 10 to 15 years before we can bring one manufacturing plant back here, then staff it with enough skilled labor to bring stuff out of the ground and be able to turn that into a finished product. That's going to be a decade. Somewhere in there is going to be some kind of an extinction level event, probably right by 2030. And that's what it sure looks like, is that 2030, 2035 is when this event is going to happen. So you can see that most of what we're seeing is just noise. And that's not even the AI, the automation, all the other things. And I can tell you, I work in the logistics business now and I deal with automation all the time. And I can tell you that the automation that they're talking about is not as high speed as they want you to believe, or that Bill Gates seems to think, is that we're going to replace humans with automation. It still takes a lot of humans to keep automation working right now. It's not as high tech and high speed as you think, even in the auto industry. So we're seeing a lot of narratives being pushed, but there's really no action. There's really nothing going on other than, you know, backroom dope deals and negotiations to move the technocratic state forward. That's really all I see. I don't see anything that's coming out of any of these conversations or any of these news stories that's actually led to anything tangible for the public to chew on. A whole lot of noise, a whole lot of BS and not a lot of action. That is literally what we're seeing right now. And I've used that time, and selfishly, I've used that time to hang out with my family and to take care of my kids and to work on the new show. And my advice to all of you is to spend that time with family and do something that isn't wrapped up in the news cycle, social media, or anything else, because this is the reprieve right now. And for those of you who are struggling financially, you're not the only ones. Everybody's feeling the pinch and the bite right now, regardless of what you hear in the news. So spend that time doing something other than hanging on the news cycle, because the news cycle is noise. And this last 2 weeks and the last two, 4 days of news cycle, this is exactly why I'm getting out of the political space. It's a self-looking ice cream cone of stupid. There's no there. It's just one news story after another. Like, here's a perfect example. What are you going to do knowing that we've built this massive underground complex to house all these people that really shouldn't be there in the first place? Like, most of the elite, and let me put it in context for you so you can see my point of view. Okay, so you've built huge underground complexes, you've stocked it with all kinds of food, you're able to keep people under underground for decades. Who's going to dig your ass out? And more importantly, most of those people that are tagged to go underground, they don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to create anything. They don't know how to build anything. They don't know how to fix anything. Most of them are just BS artists. That's all they are. So you're going to put all these thousands of politicians and scientists and military and civic and state leadership. Most of them are useless anyway. So you're basically going to fill the ranks underground with a bunch of useless eaters. And then who's going to dig you out on the other side? More importantly, who's going to rebuild society on the other side when most of the people that you're putting in these complexes don't know how to do anything? And then there's the question of how long do you think you're going to stay underground before a really, really good revolution occurs underground, when people figure out that there's tiers of and classes of people underground, and most of the people that are termed higher class or upper echelons are worth less than the people that are actually maintaining and building the structures? A good example of that is to watch the last five episodes of Silo. And you can see that most of the people that are in the upper echelons, they don't know how to do anything. And you're reliant on the builder class, which is why I've been talking about the builder class for the last 5 years. Because the builder class is what's going to carry humanity through. It's not going to be the politicians, the scientists, and the leaders. Most of them don't know how to do anything, especially academics. Academics don't know how to do anything. They can theorize, they can pontificate, they can jerk each other off, but they don't know how to do anything. Just put one in charge of an operation and see how fast that goes sideways. And then you'll know why I'm completely biased. There's a time and a place for academics, not in operations. And you're moving from almost strictly an academic environment in politics and in foreign policy, and in any kind of public service, to an operational environment underground where you're trying to survive. Good luck with that. You think I want to bury myself in a hole for 5 or 6 years underground and then come out and try and rebuild society? I'd rather take my chances on the surface. And I think a good portion of society is going to do that. But it's going to be a very, very tough go regardless. But it's like everything else that the elite do. They stir their own Kool-Aid, so they don't realize that they're the only ones that are the bottleneck and they're most of the problem. So it's regardless of how much they've built or how big it is or how awesome it is or how well stocked it is, you still got to come out on the other side and be able to reconstitute. And I don't care how many beans, bullets, and Band-Aids you stuff underground, you still got to come out and deal with the civilian population. And by the time they come out of that hole, you're going to have two different cultures. And I can tell you the culture on the surface is going to be violent. They're not going to put up with any of the BS that these people think that they're going to come out with. And they're definitely not going to put up with any of the class system. And I'm just making the assumption that this pole shift thing is real. And I'm going down that rabbit hole. But who knows how it's going to go. But the point is that we're starting to see more of the conspiracy that we've been talking about for decades is now coming true. And it wasn't conspiracy. It was truth. And you got to ask the question, why now? Why would they release the fact that they have these underground bases now? I can tell you why. Because they've already consolidated power. They've already built the underground complex. They've already stocked it and they're all ready to go. They just need distraction now. And they start moving people underground. That was FEMA's job, by the way. FEMA's job was continuity government. Their whole mission and purpose in life was to reconstitute the government and build, you know, enough underground complexes to reconstitute all of these useless eaters. And you can see the flaw in the logic. You can take 1 million soldiers underground, but you still need people that can build stuff. And sorry to say it, but let's say for all things being equal, this pole shift thing is real, and we go down this near extinction level event, and there's a surface population, an underground population, and everybody's fighting for resources on the surface. When these guys come out of the hole, there's not going to be a lot of resources for them to start with anyway to reconstitute society. And if you look at how long it takes a tree to grow, you will see that there's going to be a very, very long period of time, if all these predictions come true, where there's not going to be a hell of a lot of resources on the surface for people to really, you know, latch into and rebuild society. It's going to be a tough go, and it's going to be survival of the fittest. You know, that's assuming that all this is real. I mean, since the, you know, early 80s, I've heard Planet X, I've heard asteroids, I've heard EMP, I've heard suns, you know, solar winds, I've heard sunspots, I've heard, you know, coronal ejections. It's been endless. So it's who knows what's real. And given the fact that we're in a space where everything we almost 99% of what we hear is nonsense, it's hard to buy into one or two narratives. Yeah, there's some scientific proof to that, but we all know how compromised the scientific community has been over the last 50 years. So you can make the case either way. My point of talking about all this is, if you haven't started getting ready for some kind of a contingency, now is the time, and you're probably, you know, at the 11th hour. But I see there's going to be a barter system. There's definitely going to be a barter system based on skills, based on things you can do and provide. And there's going to be a barter system for food, and probably ammo, medicine, and food are going to be hot commodities, not to mention water. You can store all those right now. And remember, all of it's heavy to carry. So you probably don't need 400,000 rounds of ammo for the two rifles you have, or the rifle and the pistol. But a couple of thousand rounds, that's probably a good start. The point is, you should be preparing now. And be ready for any contingency. Because I think this could go a lot of different ways. I think we could be in line for a revolution. We could be in line for a civil war. We could be in line for, you know, a contingency where, you know, there's some kind of a nuclear event. I mean, take your pick. They're setting conditions to be able to choose which line of operation they want to go down and which line of operation they want to use. And I was watching part of Sean Ryan's latest posts on Twitter today, and you know, they've used the predictive programming to tell us that the bad guys are here and they're going to do this mass attack and they're going to attack civilians and they're going to go after the hospitals and blah, 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 blah. They haven't done it yet. And maybe they will, but I can't see. First of all, by cutting USAID, by cutting off all of these institutions, by getting rid of all the insurgents in the federal government, they've done a lot to cripple these clandestine operations. The one agency I haven't heard anything about layoffs is the CIA. And I really want to know what John Ratcliffe is doing to reform the CIA, just like everybody else. Notice how you don't hear anything about that. And the director of the CIA was in Panama last week. Huh, wonder what he's doing down there. So there's a lot of different pieces in flight right now, and there's a number of different contingencies that could come out of this. There's definitely a consensus among a lot of people that there's going to be financial turmoil, which will turn into it'll turn into civil unrest. It'll turn into a lot of different things, as well as if there's some kind of a kinetic fight that lands here on the U.S. shores, that will drive operations too. So the bottom line is, be as prepared as you can be. And look, I know it's a tall order because a lot of people are one paycheck away from oblivion right now. And here's the reality of where we are. I think that we're past the culmination point for restoring the federal government, for restoring the Constitution, and for restoring the country to what it should be. There's just too much fraud, too much malfeasance, and you have part of the legislative body that is basically, you know, they're going through and they're stealing the last bit of valuables before the ship goes down. And then you have the other side of the fence where people are really working hard to fix the problems that are in front of them. But the reality is, I don't know why Trump hasn't gone after the rhinos in Congress. I don't know why he hasn't thrown Mike Johnson under the bus. I don't know why nobody's been arrested. Because the clock is ticking and we're on the clock. And Mike Johnson has shown since January, along with the rest of the Republican crew, that they can't do anything. So why hasn't Trump thrown him under the bus? I'll tell you why. Because I think he sees the same thing, that you just can't reform the system and the system has to fail. Real meaningful change has to happen after the system fails and there's violent upheaval against these people. Because most of these guys, they need to be executed for treason. And I mean in a very public way. And the only way that's going to happen is if the system fails and they have no protections, because the system is not going to clean itself up. The fact that we're 100 days in and they still haven't released the Epstein files because they know that the anti-Semitic anger is going to build to a fervor. They did all the messaging. They started the messaging in October. You know, the whole message about forgiveness and about, you know, evaluating everybody that was involved based on whether they were coerced or they were willing participants, and that we should accommodate those that were coerced, blah, blah. They started that messaging all the way back in October. And what Trump realized very, very quickly, about 10 days into his administration, is that everybody saw through the whole make Israel great again. And now people are calling for scalps. And now you're seeing this rise in anti-Semitic conversation because people are sick of the whole, we have to protect Israel. No, we don't. The fact that our foreign policy is being run by a foreign country is an act of war. It's treason for everybody that's going along with that. And Trump knows it. That's why they're not releasing the Epstein files, because that's going to lead right back to Mossad, right back to Netanyahu, right back to every Israeli PM, but more importantly, it's going to lead back to the CIA and a lot of key leadership throughout our history, all the way back to the early 60s, that knew and were complicit in that operation. That's why they can't release it. But everybody knows Mossad was running the operation. It was confirmed by the JFK files. Again, Israel was involved. Again, Israel was complicit. That's not anti-Semitic. That's the truth. And you can't hide from the truth. And they know that. So Trump's created an existential crisis. But the bigger crisis is, if Trump doesn't arrest somebody, if Barry and Hayden and Clapper and Brennan especially are not brought to justice, you are going to see people go off the reservation because people are fed up. And we are rapidly approaching a culmination point where people are not incentivized by abiding by the law anymore. You're already starting to see that moral fiber of the country fray with the road rage, with the violence, et cetera. That's only going to increase. And what do control freaks do when they start feeling like they're out of control? They try and exert more control. What does that do? It exacerbates the problem. We are going to see a French Revolution here on our shores. And I've said since Trump took office, if Trump doesn't do the right thing by the American people, he will have a revolution on his hand by year two. And I firmly, firmly believe that. Because I don't know about you, but I will not live through any more. I'm just going to use my experience in Seattle. And I'm going to be somewhat, I'm going to be bigoted and racist when I say this. So we hit the ground on Thursday night. We went into a grocery store in Des Moines, which is south of Seattle. Not exactly the nicest place anymore. It used to be a pretty nice place. And we walk into a grocery store. First of all of the alcohol and a lot of sundry items were in a store within a store that was basically walled off and blocked off from the rest of the store. So if you wanted to buy a bottle of wine, you had to go into this area. We go in there, nobody's speaking English. To my right are two Somali gals, and I know that language well. And they're speaking in their native tongue. They knew exactly what we were saying. And I was picking out like every fourth word, and by the time I left the store, I was agitated. And it didn't get any better the rest of the weekend. Because, first of all, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm sick of the pink hair, the blue hair, the trans guys dressed up as women, the whole child grooming gang that's in all these liberal cities. I'm sick of all of it. I'm sick of the fact that they get all upset because you misgender them or whatever their issue is, because they've been entitled and brainwashed over the last 10 years. And they think that everybody needs to, you know, bow down to their sexuality. I'm sick of that. I don't care what your sexuality is. I don't care what clothing you wear. I don't care who your significant other is. I could care less. Don't tell me I have to celebrate you because you're a freak show. You're a freak show. And I'm not celebrating you because you're a freak show. And I'm sick of you freak shows having your 15 minutes at the mic. So let me just help you, help me, help you. Your 15 minutes at the mic are up and the rest of the country is sick of you. And if you really want no violence against your community, then stop talking. Because the rest of us want to get back and be left alone. And I don't want to hear about Gay Pride Month. Veterans get a day. And there's a whole month we have to celebrate gays where they run around naked, swinging their junk in front of kids. Sorry, I have a problem with that. And I go to Seattle and I see a once beautiful city that's completely destroyed. It's a third world country. And they don't prosecute criminals. They're hiding illegals. Sorry. All I want to do is take two brigades of Bubbas and go roll up everybody in the state and city leadership and kneel them down in the street and put a bullet in their head. That's all I want to do when I go to Seattle. And I want to start with the governor and work my way down. That's how sick of the whole trans, gay, DEI agenda that I am. And I know I'm not the only one that's sick of it. And that's not even the traffic, the cost of living, the taxation, the stupidity in the laws. It's a communist country. And at some point, that's going to go sideways and it's going to go kinetic. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the next order of battle. So we retake our country. First the traitors, then the invaders. That's how this has to go. And the system has to fail. And it has to fail bigly. By the way, that's my issue with Trump. He denigrates the office of the president. Drives me absolutely insane. You want a diplomat. Diplomacy is hard and it's messy, but you want a diplomat. I give him props for the whole tariff conversation, driving people to the negotiating table to make our trade fair again, especially with China. China manipulates everything, their currency, their trade, everything. They manipulate the products. They've conducted open warfare against us. As far as I'm concerned, tax them at tariff them at 200%, stop their goods at the border, search everything, confiscate everything, and nationalize all their assets in the U.S., and then put all their families that are here in prison until they come to the table. And I mean every family from the Chinese Communist Party goes to Gitmo. And we get on the phone with Xi and we say, this is how this is going to go. You want your families back? Then you come to the table, you start playing ball, and you publicly and openly discuss that you've conducted open warfare biologically and chemically against the American people, the Canadians, and the Mexican government. Otherwise, we keep your families in Gitmo until the end of time. And we nationalize all of your assets in the U.S. I would do it anyway. That's how all this has to go. And I give Trump props for that because he knows that's where he's going to go with China. Before this is over in 4 years, he's going to nationalize Chinese property. I guarantee it because they're going to drive in to do it because they don't honor any agreements. Making a deal with the CCP is like making a deal with Hitler. You don't do it. You put a bomb on their head. But right now, he can't put a bomb on their head. So what's the next thing you do? You go after their food supply. You go after trade. You go after the money and you drive their economy into the toilet. And then you let things implode there. And you do the same thing with Europe and Canada, which is exactly what he's doing. So I give him props for that. And if it were up to me, I would be 100% trying to crash the Canadian economy right now. Because Mark Carney, that guy's a traitor too. And if you're listening to me and you're Canada and you're offended, you should have picked up rifles already. All you libtards that are supporting all these illegals and the denigration of your society, you deserve what you get. Just like we deserve what we get if we don't pick up arms. But that day is coming here. That's why I say the system has to fail. Because there's so many different parts and so many institutions that are so broken, they can't be restructured or rebuilt. And here's the problem. The political system that we operate in the West, the political system that operates in the East, is all about the same thing. It attracts sociopaths and psychopaths. It doesn't attract people and doesn't reward people for selfless service. I don't know what that system needs to look like for that to happen, but that's where humanity needs to get to. Leadership that is focused on selfless service, focused on what's good for humanity. We shouldn't have to go through these cataclysmic events and these major, worldwide wars in order to restructure and reset the system. But our whole system is completely full of psychopaths and sociopaths. Nancy Pelosi, sociopath. Chuck Schumer, psychopath. Lindsey Graham, sociopath. Mitch McConnell, sociopath. You can go all the way down the line. The longer they're there, the more corrupt they become. The longer they're there, the more they take from the system and the less that they do for the American people. It's all about power. It's all about influence. None of it is about doing the right thing for our country and for humanity. And I don't know what the system needs to look like on the other side, but we've done the monarchy thing. That didn't work. We did the church leadership thing. That didn't work. We did the collective government. That didn't work. We did the dictators. That didn't work. We did the communist collective. That didn't work. It always turns into the same thing. You get one dictator or a small group of dictators that sit at the very top, fight amongst each other for power and control, and everybody else suffers. You can't take those systems into space. You can't take those politics and go meet another race. How are you going to do that? Yeah, we can't get along. We nuke each other and generally kill each other on a regular basis, but we really want to be friends and trade with you. When you start looking at the bigger picture around the way our system is set up, I mean, you look at where we've gone sideways and you can see why. And look, I was having this conversation the other day. I don't know if it was, I think it was with Michael Yon, and he was showing me some literature from back when the Spanish moved into Mexico, and the political language around that was literally identical to today. We just keep repeating the same political cycle and death cycle and control grid over and over and over again. And we can't continue like that. Guys like Bill Gates should be in prison immediately. No matter how much money they have, no matter how much influence they have, they go to prison immediately. The guy's committed countless crimes against humanity. He still hasn't been rolled up. You have to ask yourself, why hasn't this guy been arrested? He's killed children in five continents with vaccines. He's making vaccines that are airborne. I don't know about you, but nobody voted for that. And last I checked, biological warfare was illegal, and there was treaties against that. But yet this guy's walking around like he doesn't have a care in the world. And my question is, why hasn't there been a kill order issue on this guy? This guy is as bad as Charles Manson. He's as bad as Hitler. He's as bad as Stalin. He's as bad as Pol Pot. Why is this guy still walking around? And I'll tell you why. Because the system rewards the psychopath and the sociopath. It doesn't reward somebody who's doing the right thing. In fact, it penalizes people that are doing the right thing. The system's designed to reward the douchebag. That's not a system we can take into space. That's not a system that's going to last 1,000 years. That's a system that perpetuates violence and criminality. And I don't know what the answer is, but it's not that. And 200 years of history should have shown us that in black and white, along with transparency and publishing real history. But again, because we reward psychopaths and sociopaths, they rewrite history and brainwash everybody to stay in power. The system has to come to an abrupt halt. And maybe that's the course we're on. Maybe this is the reset, like the Great Flood. And if that's where we're going, so be it. But I can tell you that the world I want to live in, the society I want to live in, is filled with personal responsibility, personal discipline, and accountability. I want to live in a society where people are accountable for themselves. They raise their kids and they're accountable for their children. They protect their families. They provide for their families. They are a part of society. They contribute to society, and they contribute to the governance of their community and to their country. And they live quiet lives. And we get out of this materialistic, power-driven genre that we're in now. That's why I started this show 5 years ago, is that I wanted to influence people to be more accountable, to be productive in society, to go and plug into the system and help. And the new show is going to be completely dedicated to that. I'm not going to spend 1 ounce of time analyzing the current thread or meme that comes out of the Trump camp. I don't care about that. I want to give people real-world tools that they can go do things with and operationalize and live productive lives. and I want to shift and steer the Titanic, even with a small rudder, so that we get back to selfless service and accountability. That's what I started this for. And I would hope after all this time that at least in some small way, I've helped just a few people either get through a contingency, get through a family crisis, whatever the case may be. Even if it's helped people see the truth and to second guess and to critically think about what they're seeing in front of them and what they believe and what their belief system is, then hey, that's success. But the new show is going to be completely dedicated to showing you what the real threat is to our environment, and then what to do with that information, and how to be self-reliant, and how to stay out of the conflict zone while others are blissfully unaware. Blissfully. And let's say all things being equal, the poles shift and things go sideways. I would hope that through our efforts, not just mine, but the entire team of guys around me, my admins, everything else in Telegram that have been doing this for 3-4 years, I would hope that all of them too feel like they've contributed and added value to the rest of society, to at least get people just a small bit prepared. That's my hope after 5 years of this. The new show will be Friday, times to be announced, depends on where Michael Yon's at, connectivity, et cetera. But we are doing a show Friday, the first path forward. The link for the new channel is in the show notes. The link for the t-shirts is in the show notes. I'm hoping that by the end of next week, I'll have two more shows lined up and set up to start the lineup. I'm going to create the new Substack for the show on Friday. So stay tuned for that. And I'm going to be doing two shows a week. Not sure which nights yet, probably Mondays and Wednesdays, like the sit rep, but we'll see. I want to get a couple of things in the bag, but until Friday, This will be the last show. I may do one more or two more updates to publish to direct people to the new channel. If you haven't been over to the Path Forward, click the link that's in the show description and go hit the follow button so you can see when the first show's out. If you haven't bought a t-shirt, do that and get the word out. Until Friday, this is Colonel Murray signing out.